Hey everybody, welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast. I want to make sure that in 2018 you are prepared to make some important changes that will radically impact your business. And one of those changes, one of the biggest blind spots that I see with all the little businesses all over the world that I talk to and work with, is that they don't understand or appreciate the power of relationship marketing. You know, back a year and a half or 2 years ago when I started dropping this phrase out into the ecosystem online, it wasn't a phrase anyone even mentioned. I didn't invent the term relationship marketing, of course, but it really hadn't made its way into service industry. And I've been on the forums and online forever, and I never saw it. And I thought it was fascinating because one of the primary ways that we got so much traction and momentum and got higher prices and just had so much success in our company was because of relationship marketing. And part of the reason we had success was because I did some of this stuff innately. Like, it was just kind of hard-baked into my brain. I don't know why, maybe just part of my personality, but the more I started to learn and grow as a leader, I started to recognize that there was a real structure that you can build around relationship marketing. I started to see the power of it. And some of the things that I was doing innately, just kind of without thinking, could have been improved on, right? So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to play a presentation for you guys that I actually made about a year ago. I think it was about a year ago, and might be a little more than that, at an event I went to and I spoke in Oklahoma at a small event with Martha Woodward. And I gave a presentation that's powerful on the gratitude effect. I've done webinars on the gratitude effect. I need this to sink into your brain that this is the path. All business is done on relationships. You know, big $100,000 accounts are made with a handshake between two people, just like a little $200 account. And you can leverage this, but you have to be strategic and you can't be scared to spend money investing in relationships. It's insane to me the fear people have to spend a few dollars to nurture a relationship with an existing customer or to invest in a relationship with an influential or important person. It's madness. The ROI on this is higher than any other form of marketing on the planet. And when it comes to SendGym, our software company, when we first launched it, you know, I was so excited because we had the ability to send gifts and gift cards and greeting cards and all these little notes, not just postcards and letters and emails, but all these other things. And because we can group them into sequences, meaning you click a button one time in our software and it's going to send a gift to this influential person today, and then 2 weeks later follow up with an email, and then a month later follow up with a little greeting card with a note in it, or whatever, you can drip for a whole year on these people. I knew that that was a game-changing tool for small business. It's built for speed, it's fast, it's clean, it's awesome, it's easy, it's amazing. But when I started trying to sell it, you know, I'm the charismatic leader of my company, right? I'm out there fighting the good fight trying to sell, just like you are, right? When I started trying to sell it, we were not getting the results I thought. I mean, my level of passion and excitement for relationship marketing was just at a 10. I had so much certainty that this was the way to sell our product. And it wasn't working. It really wasn't working very well. And I was very confused because this is like one of those things that people need to do. They need to know. They need to understand. But it wasn't sexy enough. It wasn't resonating enough. I still really don't fully understand why. But it's the truth of it. So what we did is we shifted our marketing towards Radius Bomb once we got Radius Bomb built. And Radius Bomb's amazing, okay? It's amazing. And I can sell Radius Bomb all day long because when someone sees that our app SendGym has a map and you can circle a single house on it or one neighborhood or just the lakefront homes, you can circle in a certain area, click a button, and deliver postcards. That is sexy and interesting and new and exciting and amazing, right? And because most small business owners are almost completely obsessed with getting new customers rather than focusing on retaining past customers, the sales went through the roof. People were signing up and buying Radius Bomb left and right. It was insane, right? And so finally we had, you know, some good financial momentum with the business, but you know, I was always left feeling kind of bad because the real power of our app, honestly, is in the relationship marketing stuff. It's in the sequences you can build to relationship market to your employees. It's a way you can drip on and love on your customers, which is your single biggest asset of your small business by far, no question about it. That is your biggest asset. Now, if you started your business last week and you don't have any employees, you don't have any customers, fair enough, right? We need to focus on front-end sales. We have to go hunting. We got to go club stuff and drag it home and make sales and close the deals. But even after a season, or a couple seasons, you have a foundation that you need to nurture, or you're going to have what I call holes in your bucket. Holes in your bucket are the worst thing ever, and it's the number one reason businesses flatline their growth. So I'm going to play this presentation. Now, keep in mind, this was a presentation where I presented slides and all kinds of things to a live crowd and audience. And so some of the things I say might not make perfect sense because you can't see the slide, but that's okay. I think the value is still going to be there for you. I appreciate you guys. I hope you're having a great Thursday when this is coming out, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Well, how's it going, everybody? You're not sleepy, are you, at the end of 2 days of sitting in a thing and staring at a screen, learning about systems? Well, my name's Josh. Most of you have absolutely no idea who I am, but I'm somewhat interesting. I'm from Michigan, and I got married about 15 years ago. This coming summer will be 15 years, and I had a service company in Michigan for about 10 years. Started out living in a trailer park, delivering pizzas, young married. Ended up starting a cleaning company. Had tons of pain and suffering along the way. Scaled the business up to close to a couple $100,000 a month. Totally automated it. Not because I'm a genius, because other people are geniuses, and I replicated systems and things like that. And we sold that company, and now I do have a software company. And what we're going to talk about today is probably something I'm guessing most of you have never heard of before. It's called the gratitude effect. And I think it's interesting, and hopefully you will also think it's interesting. So the science of business growth. So what we're going to go through in my presentation is not conjecture or opinion or anything like that. It's not some magic fairy dust. It's super simple things that work every single time, 100% of the time, to help you grow your company. And I'm assuming we want to grow, or you wouldn't pay money and come to like an event like this, right? And it's powerful. And my big audacious claim with the presentation is that you could probably double your business without finding any new customers. I know that's like impossible, right? But you really could. You really could, and I'm going to prove it to you in a little bit. The requirements for this to work, to trigger the gratitude effect with your team and your staff, and I'll explain what that is, you have to have existing customers, you have to have been in business, you have to be a man or a woman of integrity that actually loves what you do and serves your clients at a high level. You have to want to grow, and you need to have a company that relies on repeat service or referrals, which I think all of us do. I was in the window and pressure cleaning business, and it was called Birds Beware Window Cleaning. That's a cool name, right? And so our slogan was, birds hate us, customers love us. And like I said, I had pain and suffering. We really, really, really struggled. I remember in year two of my business, my wife went to the grocery store and bought groceries with our one-year-old son, and her debit card was declined. It was one of the most humiliating and lowest points for me ever. You know, as the provider, I wanted to club stuff and drag it home and conquer things, and it wasn't working correctly. And it wasn't due to lack of effort, because my effort was extremely high. I was just working on the wrong things. After I had a light bulb moment, you know, the Michael Gerber work on your business instead of in your business thing. You guys are familiar with that, right? Yeah. When I started, even at a basic level, applying systems and processes and SOPs, standard operating procedures, and all those things, and I started looking at my business a different way, things changed for me, and we started to get a lot of momentum. The business grew. We automated it. For the last 2 years I had it, I only worked about 4 hours a week in the business, just reading reports and playing ping pong with our ops manager and our office team and things like that. And it was amazing. It was really cool. Then we got an unsolicited offer to sell our company to another company from California, and so we took it. We took it. So we sold, and then I moved to Costa Rica. Of course, because that's where you go. And this is a couple pictures of my family in our backyard in Costa Rica. And the bus, I ran over a monkey in that bus in Costa Rica. Not on purpose, because monkeys are super awesome and cute, and I felt horrible. He kind of committed suicide in front of my bus. And I started a podcast called Quick Talk Podcast. Has anybody ever listened to my podcast? Quick Talk Podcast. Not tons of maid service listen to my podcast. Martha raised me. What's that? I thought it was called Automate Grow. Yeah, it's the Automate Grow Sell Quick Talk Podcast. If you search iTunes for either one, it'll pull up. You can just go to quicktalkpodcast.com. But I interview people like Jonathan Potoshnik and Lisa McQueen from Australia with a $5 million maid service. And I dig in with these people and I network and I say, what did you do? Why are you different? Like, why is your business working? And so when I was in Costa Rica, I started doing that. I also have a software company that I'll explain more later. But that's kind of what I did, and it's been amazing. And it was afforded to me through the use of systems and through the use of what I call the gratitude effect, which is something I applied for many years in my business. So to me, the myth of business growth is that you have to go super wide. You have to do like everything. You need to do yard signs and social media and email and inserts in the newspaper and like door knocking and flyers and whatever. Like all the stuff in this list, there's so much stuff. And what happens is people go wide instead of going deep, and you get totally overwhelmed. And I don't know if I'm weird, but I literally would like have panic attacks. I'd have marketing overwhelm, right? Anybody ever felt that way? You know, how do you make your phone ring? How do you overcome the ups and downs of your season and the natural cycles? How do you make, instead of a total cliff a certain time of the year, make it more of a speed bump, right? Well, it's not by doing more and more and more stuff. It's by doing a better job on a few things. And we'll talk about what those are in a minute. So what if the real key to success or massive growth is right in front of all of us the entire time? Well, I think it is. I know that it is. And it has to do with this thing called the gratitude effect. Oop, I skipped a slide. The last slide said, simplicity is the ultimate form of sophistication, which is Leonardo da Vinci. Simplicity is the ultimate form. Here we go. Sorry. This is one of my favorite quotes. Because if there's something that can be overcomplicated or made overcomplicated, I am the guy that will do it. I will find a way to make it harder on myself. So to have a growth strategy that's predictable and measurable, it only needs to have three components. It needs to be really simple. It needs to be organized ahead of time. It needs to be consistent. Consistency can be hard. And like I said, I make easy complicated. That's my MO sometimes. Okay, I want to ask you guys a couple questions about employee size and company size. So I have about 8,000 cleaning businesses on my email list, and I survey people every year, and I ask them, what is your number one pain point in your business? What do you think the answer is? The number one pain point? Employee issues, right? Right? And behind it for number two, what do you think number two would be? Getting new customers? Is that what you said? Keeping your customers? Is there a lot of turnover in maid service? People leave you to save a buck? Lawn care, maybe? I have a friend in lawn care that lost an account for 50 cents a cut. For real. And he was in my hometown, and you know, he was so commoditized. His business was so commoditized that he had a customer call him who was really nice about it. It was like, hey, Mike, sorry, we're gonna go a different direction. You know, and he's like, well, gosh, I'm sorry. Can you tell me why? She said, no, it's not you. It's just we found a cheaper company, and he was $28 a cut, and this person was $27.50. So, marketing is more than just a transaction. And my main premise for my presentation today is that I think all of us as small business owners would do really well if we forced ourselves to be relationally minded in all areas of our business rather than just transactionally minded. Not that you are, but sometimes we accidentally do that because of fear or because we got to hit a goal or because we're just trying to drive sales. And so we want a strategy that's consistent and scalable and simple and easy and low cost that doesn't put us in the position of being a commodity. Another thing I talk about is a rack of bread. So bread's like a commodity, right? So you can have bread where there's like a rack of bread and every loaf is a dollar. And it's pretty much the same thing. It's white bread. There's slight differentiation, but not really. I mean, you're in a hurry and you grab it and it's a dollar and you leave, right? But then there's this other rack over there and it's $5 bread. And it's not even like on the shelf with this bread. It's on like a wood shelf. And the loaf is shaped different and it smells better. And the package is like, got that paper, crinkly, good stuff, right? And it's the incremental cost, like the actual raw cost of making that bread isn't five times more than the $1 bread. But the way that they package it and put it all together creates a massive value gap where some people will give $5 for a loaf of bread, right? So here's a question. Out of these options here, if you had to pick one, what do you think the greatest potential for growth for your company would be? I got postcards, door knocking, Facebook, flyers, networking, social media, door hangers, SEO, and newspaper ads. Those are amazing, right? What do you think would be the biggest winner? SEO? Facebook? Yeah, they're good. I heard that the internet's getting popular. Well, here's my answer, and it's a trick question, so sorry to do that to you, but the real greatest potential for growth comes from your business's number one asset, which is your current book of business. If you have like 7 customers and you started last week, you know, we'll get to that, but if you have an established business, this is just incomprehensibly valuable if we nurture it correctly and we're relationally minded rather than just transactionally minded. And typically when we interact with our customers, we're like, hey, how's it going? Can I have some money? Like, hey, how you been? Got some money for me? And it's always an ask. It doesn't have to be that way. Like, we can chill out and have real relationships with people, and they'll really respond to it, and it does stuff in their brain, and then they'll give you more referrals, and they'll question your pricing less because it's more relational instead of transactional. Most of us know this, that on average, a loyal customer is worth up to 10 times as much as their initial purchase. And I think this is awesome because I do business consulting and stuff. Last year, I had over 200 individual sessions with small businesses where I help them get clear on their business and stuff. And what happens is people that work in their business too much, they don't realize that they're making like $20 an hour, right? Like, they think they have to submit payroll and they have to be the person to schedule the thing, and they don't want to let go. Maybe because of fear, maybe because they're perfectionist, maybe because a variety of reasons. But what I think is important to remember is that when you're selling, when you're driving sales, you're making thousands of dollars per hour, literally. You just don't get all of those dollars right this second. Does that make sense? Like, if I go out and I sell and I solicit and I network and I shake hands and kiss babies and I become the person in my hometown, oh, that's Josh, he's the guy that does this stuff. Josh, how you doing? Hey, I want to show you. But Josh, he's the guy, he does this certain stuff. If you can become that person, you're literally generating thousands of dollars per hour during that time. And so for me, when our business actually started to work and we were doing $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 weeks, it was because I spent the bulk of my time on things like this. And so when you get a deal, I think maid service, you probably don't look at like your average ticket as one cleaning. It's like your average yearly value or something. Is that how you do it? Right? If you can keep them for years, you can crush it, right? We know that. And so what is the gratitude effect? This is a real phenomenon. It's been studied by universities, and it's really, really fascinating. And so this is just one sample. This was a study by the APA, the American Psychological Association. And what happens is when I express, if I express gratitude to this guy here, and I'm genuine about it, and I'm like, you know, thank you so much for whatever, and it's real, and there's a thing, there's stuff that happens in our brain, and it triggers this phenomenon called the gratitude effect. And he will instantaneously want to reproduce that feeling in his brain because we like it when people are grateful and thankful for us. We like it when people invest in us for real because it's genuine, right? And so customers, when you do a better, more concerted effort of thanking them and engaging with them and over-delivering and caring about them and remembering their dog's name and what college their kid went to, it does stuff. And what happens is it triggers this gratitude effect. And it leads to some really fascinating, well-documented things for your business. Number one is a repeat business is more solid. And what you're doing when you focus on relationship marketing is you're decommoditizing yourself. You're moving yourself from the $1 loaf over to here. And so you're not going to lose an account for 50 cents a thing because they don't have anybody else to compare you to that can replace the relationship that you have. Does that make sense? The positive feelings that you have allow people to savor the experience of doing business with you more. This sounds like kind of cheesy, but this is really true. For example, in the wine studies they've done, where you tell people, you know, drink these 2 glasses of wine, and one is 15, they tell you it's, you know, a $15 glass, and the other one they say is a $200 glass, and people always say, oh, this one's out of the body, the aroma, the whatever wine people say, right? It's nutty or whatever. And it because they savor, they because of what they perceive it to be, they force themselves to pay more attention to the nuances of it, and they extract more value out of it. And as weird as that is, it absolutely applies to your business. You're going to get more referrals, because when they give you a referral and you thank them and there's a real relationship, they get the dopamine, they want to do it again, they want to do it again, they care. And you get advocacy. So anybody read the book Raving Fans? No? No? No book nerds? Well, the title pretty much sums it up. I mean, we want to create raving fans for our company. We want brand advocates. So with my software business, when I tell people, hey, buy my stuff. I have some really cool stuff. You buy my stuff? that's not as good as someone else saying, you see Josh, he's got some stuff. Let me tell you about Josh's stuff. It's unbelievable. Totally different, like totally different. We can do that with our business if we're focused on it and it's important. And really at the end of the day, I think it's pretty much common sense. You have your customers, and you get repeats and referrals. But this is who I think a lot of businesses, at least that I work at, this is what we think we are when we're selling. We're lions, and we're hungry, so we think our customers are this, right? Yeah, they're so cute and delicious. And we don't mean to be like that, because we don't like it when people are like that to us, but we kind of do it because we got to close the deal or whatever. And we think this is making a sale. We're making a sale, right? But the problem with this is that it's one and done. It's transactional. And most service companies are absolutely transactional. That's why it's easy to win if you figure this out, and for a higher price. You can actually be more money and get the job every time. And there is a better way. And so my analogy that I like is, instead of being a hunter, is that we need to develop the culture in our company, starting with ourselves, to be a farmer, to cultivate relationships, to stop being so impatient and trying to take a dollar right now when we can have $10 in the long haul if we just pace ourselves a little bit. Your customers aren't gazelles or tomatoes, right? And what's cool about a tomato plant is that it will produce tomatoes over and over and over and over, right? But the gazelle's dead and he ain't coming back. And so you're constantly chasing the carrot. And I know what that feels like, and it's not fun. And you can create momentum. So again, to be redundant, when you focus on relationship marketing and triggering the gratitude effect, you are putting this in place in your business. You're setting in future momentum to make your loyal customers worth up to 10 times as much as their first transaction. But it goes beyond just customers. So is everybody in here have employees or some employees? Yeah, some? You guys are all like totally awesome rock star businesses. How important is culture? How important is it that you hire people that do the right thing when no one's looking? How hard is it to even, right? It's like, it's incredibly difficult. But the culture starts with you. And the culture, you have two, to me, it's binary. And so you can be the, you do it my way, or you broke the thing, or you get out. I can put on Craigslist and find someone else in 5 minutes. You have those people. And then you have people that maybe are too soft and too whatever. But there is a middle ground there where you can actually care about people, invest in people, give them a break sometimes, but also lead them with strength and all that stuff. But you can use the gratitude effect on your employees. It's powerful. People will go to war for you when they know that you actually care about them as a human. And just here's a couple just generic statistics on employees and on customers. Oh, wait, no, that's a slide in a second. Study after study shows the power of gratitude and relationship building. So my point of this slide was employees, customers, but there's also influencers, people that are gatekeepers, you know, they're the property association manager. They might not have all the power, but they're the doorway to the power. We can get strategic on how to engage in long-tail relationships with people like this that can unlock massive deals. In fact, my business partner, Chris, who's over here, he got $500,000 account with General Motors, and that took a long time. It came through a single relationship, because that's how business is done. It's a person talking to another person, and they shake their hands, and they make a deal. And there might be more red tape if it's a huge account, but that guy was our advocate. Chris called him his coach. My partner Chris, he called the guy at GM his coach because he had worked so long, was so patient, and gave and gave and gave and gave and gave and over the top and over the top and gave, that this guy had no choice but to help us get this account, right? That's an extreme example of what this stuff can do for you. And now we're going to talk about how you can use gratitude effect with employees. So, companies with engaged employees have 147% higher earnings per share than their less engaged competitors. And when organizations successfully engage their customers and their employees, they have a 240% boost in performance. So if I could push a magic button and all of your cleaners back home, they're probably working right now while you're here, right? If I pushed it and all of their performance went up by 240%, that would be pretty awesome, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. You know? But you can move these things, you can move in the direction of these things through relationship marketing. I'm going to get to specifics on how to do this and how I did it. with your customers, you know, it says here you can cost 5 times more to acquire a new customer than to retain an existing one. We've all heard that. I think it's closer to 8 or 10 that people argue on that. And reducing customer defection by only 5%, like if you can reduce the amount of people that leave you by 5%, leads to an increase in profitability of at least 25%, as much as 125%. That's kind of cool. And 70% of people do business with you in large part because of the way it makes them feel. 70%. People buy on emotion and justify with logic. Don't you do that? Well, honey, I need the four-wheel drive truck. I mean, it's just better for our family. You know, we deserve this. Right? It's the raw truth is that I need transportation to carry me in a seat down a flat road from here to here. But no, I want the F-250 King Ranch because it's awesome. At least for me, that's my thing. Jonathan likes Ferraris, I guess. But the point is that we're all highly emotional people, including your employees. And when I talk about you being a loaf of bread and a commodity, a lot of times we're the same thing to our employees. They say, oh, I can work at this company and give away an hour of my life for $12, or I could give away an hour of my life for $10.50 here, or I could give, it's a commodity, it's all the same thing. Right? It's just, it doesn't matter. It's a revolving door. They're just that. But when you can break that and disrupt it, insane things can happen. So here's a funny question. How do your clients know that you love them? Obviously, you love your clients, right? They buy all your stuff. But how do they know that you genuinely, really, at least, maybe you're not as passionate as me, but I really, really love my clients, like a lot. Like, they're a big deal.
Thank you letters.
Good. Thank you letters. Good. So here's my analogy, going back to marriage. What if you never told your wife that you loved her after the wedding day? Yeah, but I already told her I loved her. But I already said it. Good grief, what does this woman want from me?
The stability of you loving her forever.
Right. And the same thing's true for all of us, men and women, and for with your employees and with your customers. But we don't mean to forget, but we forget. At least I forget. So, she does. She's very compelling. She has plenty of leverage and ways to compel me. So, I'm going to get into a slightly boring but very interesting topic called repeat rate. And super ridiculously, legendarily, is that a phrase? Powerful for your business, if you can understand it. It's called the magic of repeat rate. So I just broke down a spreadsheet and did some modeling and some projections for two companies, Bob and Mary. And they both have the same exact company, okay? All things are equal with their companies. They both have plumbing businesses. Don't know why I chose plumbing, just came out when I typed it. They both start with 1,000 customers from day one of my fake example here. They're both average a $250 job, average. And they both average exactly 22 new customers a month. Okay, and we're going to look at them over 10 years. And I was super conservative on the repeat rate numbers. The only difference is that Mary invests 5% of her revenue, which is massive, does not have to be anywhere near that high, but just to make the point that it still works, into relationship marketing to trigger the gratitude effect in her clients and her staff, will say. And Bob doesn't believe in it. He thinks it's dumb. He said, no, you know, I'm just going to, they'll call me when they need me, right? Bob's so awesome, his customers never forget who he is or forget to call. So, in other words, Mary's the farmer. Remember the tomato farmer? And then Bob's the hunter. He's out just, like, looking for gazelle all the time. Which, is like, I respect that. Like, go win and stuff. But the problem is that over the long haul, the math doesn't work very well. And the businesses that I don't like the word coach, but the businesses I work with and talk to, what happens sometimes is it's not that hard to have massive revenue growth for the first few years, and you can go flat. And the reason businesses go flat, and I see this every single week, is because you reach a point in your business size where you're losing the same amount of customers that you're gaining. When that day happens, it's over, unless you can fix this problem of attrition, of people leaving, right? And it happens to good businesses too. So after 3 years, Mary's business is almost double the size of Bob's. After 5 years, it's almost 3 times the size. And after 10 years, it's actually over 7 times larger. Okay, so let's look at some of the math. Here's the horrible looking spreadsheet here. And we'll just look into year one. Oh, this is recapping what we said. And so everything's the same for these businesses, except Bob has a repeat rate of 45%, and hers is 65%, right? And it could be much higher if you just have legendary culture, okay? And then, but she also has to spend, she's spending money to pay for this idea, right? And we'll take that into account. So Bob's Plumbing, after year one, does 178 grand in revenue. He doesn't spend any money on, you know, relationship marketing, whatever that is, I'll tell you about in a minute. And Mary does spend money, but she still comes out way ahead, right? Because just because of the attrition, the repeat rate's higher. In year five, we got a $400,000 business against a 1.1. She spent a massive amount of money, more than you would really need to, but still it makes the point that this is powerful. And then by year 10, it gets totally wacky and out of control, right? So I think that's amazing. And this is the problem with our companies right here. This is my favorite graphic, is that we have holes in our bucket and we don't mean to. We do care about our customers. We care about our employees. We don't mean to. We're just busy. We just forget. We're not intentional about some of these other things because we're chasing the carrot and we're chasing the gazelle. And this is the problem. So new customers are like the water that go in your bucket. That's your spigot. And any marketing channel is valid. You know, you do Facebook, you do whatever. If it's working, more power to you, rock it. But if you have holes in your bucket and you're spending money up here, you're going to reach that plateau at some point, right? Where the amount coming in the top is equal to the amount going out the bottom. Does that make sense? Am I crazy? Because I think this is so interesting. So marketing doesn't really matter, in my opinion, until you fix this first. This is a foundational, normal part of growing a very large company. And it's so much cheaper and it's better. So just to repeat there, the power repeat rate. And we're really overcomplicating things by going really wide and focusing on the spigot. We just want water spraying all over our bucket, right? And we're just going crazy, but there's holes in it and it's rusty. And we're spending so much time here when maybe we could spend an hour and develop an entire year-long relationship marketing plan for all of your customers or for all of your key employees, right? It could change everything for them, especially millennials. Anybody got some millennials working for you? How's that going? No, there's good ones for sure, just like any generation, but they are different. I recognize differences in them. Anybody recognize difference in work ethic and the way that they are with millennials at all? One thing I've observed is that they want to be a part of something. They want to like get caught up in something. In my parents' generation, you know, they would work maybe two or three jobs their entire life, and then they would retire and have a pension, and that's what you did. And so their generation yelled at me and said, get a good job, get a blah, 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 and do your thing, and blah, 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 and you just get a safe, secure job, right? But the generation after me, the millennials, they're going to have like 15 average jobs during their career based on current research. They're very like transient. Anyway, that was a sidebar. We're creating marketing overwhelm for no reason. So how do we fix it? Okay. Here's what relationship marketing is in a more of a practical sense. We'll talk about it here for a couple minutes. So it's simple, but it needs to be organized and it needs to be consistent. And so how do you get organized with relationship marketing? Well, let's just do a fake example for your customers, okay? Let's just pretend that that guy with the cool mustache is your customer. We're going to have 12 months of the year to put your 12 customers. Or the same customer, but 12 times, right? Here we go. And maybe we just decide up front, because we're intentional and we're working on our business, in our business, that, hey, you know what? It would be really cool if we sent like a letter or an email. I think that's an email. A few times a year, right? So, but you pre-schedule it. You could even pre-write the email and you lock it in, right? And then maybe on top of that, you're going to send some sort of a thank you card, like someone mentioned in the back, or something a few times a year, or some sort of a touch point, a follow-up. Do-it-yourself newsletter maybe comes in three times a year. And maybe you really tie it all together with a few phone calls. And the real key for this to work is that when you're doing these touch points, you're not asking for stuff. You're not a taker, you're a giver. Right? Like, Bill, how are you? How's Susie? How's Oklahoma State going? Hey, no, I just had a note on my desk to give you a call. We're just checking in with you. Or maybe it's, you know, something else. Maybe it's a note with a do-it-yourself tip or whatever. This is so simple. This is why our company grew like a rocket ship to the point we had to stop marketing because we couldn't buy enough trucks and hire enough people fast enough, and why we got bought by a company from California is because I was obsessed with two things in my business. the customer life cycle, that whole magical, they never heard of us, they're a raving fan, and everything that happens in the middle, that, and the identical thing with my employees. The culture is second to none. I asked people on Facebook, what's more important, your customers, your employees? It was like this Facebook war, you know, like people are just going crazy, arguing. And the answer to that doesn't matter. The point is that they're both everything, right? Aren't they everything? You can't have one without the other. You can't. And so getting organized with the simple touch points to actually show people you care, which will trigger the gratitude effect in their brain for real. This is science. It's very powerful. Literally can cause your employees to want to go to war for you. It has to be real and genuine, but it can. One of the ways I did this as a practical point is I did two things. Number one, I had a secret spreadsheet for every single person that worked for me. And on the spreadsheet, I had the name of the employee, the name of their girlfriend or boyfriend or spouse. I had the name of their favorite sports team, the name of their hobby, their favorite color. If they had a cat, they're into cats, I want to know the name of the cat. I compiled data. It's called data mining. I did this for my team. I want to know who they were. And then I tried to figure out their love language as an employee. Some people respond to public recognition. Some people respond to you pulling them aside privately and giving them $100 and say, hey, I just see you. Like, you're crushing it for us. Like, thank you, right? They'll literally climb Mount Everest for the next 72 days because of that. Some people respond to, you know, money, straight money. Some people respond to lots of things. The point is that I got organized with my people, and then I made sure that I was touching them throughout the year, and I call that planned randomness. And I didn't make up the phrase planned randomness because it's so awesome, I feel like I can't, like, claim that. But I was doing that without even knowing that that's what it's called. And to the employee, it feels completely random, but to me, it was an absolute system, right? Total system, relationship marketing system. Good stuff, right? Here's just a couple of little ideas. So maybe you do a short handwritten note to every one of your employees, but every one of them gets their handwritten note in a private way, so it's not a big deal, so it doesn't feel like it's a corporate thing that just happens every month. It's more personal than that. Every couple months, they get a small personalized gift. You should be doing quarterly reviews or checking up with them, but that's not what I'm talking about with a 10-minute checkup. That's a how are you doing? You said you had those student loans. How have we been doing on that? Are we making progress? Are you paying some of them off? What's going on? How's your budget? Like, how's whatever? You wanted to buy that house. How's that going? Have you been looking? Is your credit still bad? Hey, what can I do to help? That's what I'm talking about there. 10 minutes. It's an investment. Maybe a couple times a year, go to lunch with them. Invest in them as humans. I always hated the phrase human capital. That's what, like, employees are, right, at a big company. They're human capital. That's, like, terrible. No, they're just humans. They're humans. And then maybe they get, and this is outside of their normal compensation, they get something significant that they didn't know was coming. Now, all of the cost of this, it's already going to be figured into your stuff because you're a business, you're CEOs, right? You know what to do. So you're going to plan for it ahead of time, but they don't know that you did. That's why it's planned randomness. That's what triggers the gratitude effect. That's what's so awesome. And for your customers, as needed public recognition, you can do the same type of thing, right? These are called sequences. You know, you can do a sequence of touch points to serve them in whatever way makes sense. And a really important point with this, though, is, like, how you do this is so, so much less important than doing it at all. Who cares how you do it? I don't care if you just do it your whole... Nobody does this stuff. It's a huge deal. It decommoditizes you. Okay, so we can recap briefly what we learned here. And you can double your business without chasing new customers. It's math. It's really true. If we can get the attrition to stop, create supermen and women in our culture with our employees, which will serve our clients better, we're going to get that 10-time lifetime value out of everybody. And, you know, like I said, nothing was based on opinion or conjecture. It's science and stuff. It was on Google. It has to be true. I believe the greatest potential for growth with all of our businesses is through our current customers. There's only three ways to get money. It's to get more customers, to get more money from your current customers, or both, right? You can actually increase frequency, which is more complicated, but... current customers are a huge blind spot. And again, to show this for the third time, generating that loyalty makes your initial transaction value or maybe your first year's value worth 10 times. If you can nail that. If you can make, we spend money to market and then we got them and we stop. we spend a little more, just a little more, to keep them, that can happen. So it's highly profitable. And the gratitude effect, the science of it, is that it gives you, for sure, more repeat business. People buy more and more often from those they feel valued by. The positive feelings of gifting and being thanked allows them to savor the experience of doing business with you more. They're emotionally connected. They get more referrals, and then they become brand advocates. The really good example of not being a commodity is like when the iPhone first came out. And when someone bought one, they couldn't not tell people about it. Like you guys have Apple products. You've opened, even if you hate Apple, literally the packages are better. Every single thing about every part of the entire process of that product, they wrap this thing around like the battery charger. It doesn't even need to be there, but it's like you peel it off and it like clicks. It's like it does, like that stuff's engineered. If you buy a MacBook and you take the case off of it, it's super suctioned on. And it's like, and it pops, it goes when you pop it up. They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in R&D to make it do that. Why did they do it? And how can we learn from that for a little local business? The principles are exactly the same, even though they're a giant, you know, global dominating company. The principles are the same. But when you nail that, when you nail that customer experience and all those intangibles, this is what happens. It's freaking awesome, and it's different, and it's a $5 loaf of bread. And I have to show people, oh, God, did you see the new artisan bread at the market? It's just fabulous. And we have to show, and now they know about it. And then they do the same thing, and it keeps happening. We can do that with our service companies. You know, and it's inexpensive. It just takes a little tactical strategy. That's it. Another recap is that we think we're a lion that needs to chase the gazelle to get the money or to grow. We don't need to do that. We just need to be Mr. Farmer guy over here with the tomato plants. We learned about Bob and Mary. Mary was the farmer. Her business was a lot bigger than Bob's. They're both good people. They're both outstanding plumbers. Their customers, you know, they do a good job. But Mary was super intentional about reinvesting to make her clients sticky. You ever heard that term? Make your business sticky. I mean, getting customers is one thing, but keeping them forever is a totally different thing. Yes, stick to you like glue. And when you only focus on the spigot, which is marketing, that's the sexy side of the business. You know, it's really fun to like nail a really cool Facebook ad. Hey, how's your retargeting going? Yeah. No, I dropped my EDM, I got some retargeting, it's really cool. You know, like you feel cool, like you're doing something. And this stuff is less sexy and people don't know about it. But when you're sitting in your office by yourself and nobody knows you're making that spreadsheet for your staff and you're building out just a little secret touch point for your customers and you're even making a third street for your VIP customers, you know, the ones that are just loudmouths and they totally will tell the whole earth about your company, and we do even more for them. And then we make another list of all the gatekeepers and the influencers and the people that are the doorway to the $500,000 jobs that Chris gets. It doesn't take that long to do this, right? But like, it's not as sexy. It's a little bit more boring, but it's so ridiculously powerful, and it's inexpensive. It's inexpensive. So you can only get a bigger bucket, meaning have a bigger business, after you fix your current bucket, like lay the correct foundation, right? That's pretty common sense. And then, but with that being said, I'm going to briefly explain radius bomb. Now, radius bomb is the spigot. It's the thing I've been telling you. Who cares about the spigot? Fix the holes in your bucket. But the spigot does matter. Like, getting new customers does matter, but I think nobody ever talks or teaches about client retention in a passionate way, and I'm passionate about it. But this is what radius bomb does. It's a mapping tool. It allows you to target entire neighborhoods or just portions of neighborhoods in a couple clicks, and you can send direct mail to certain people. And so it's called SendJim, is the name of my company. That idea is that you don't have time to, you know, follow up with all your customers, but Jim does. So there's Jim in his car, and he's going to get all the addresses for you. You can target just this row of homes that has trees in the backyard, maybe if you're a gutter cleaning company or something. It's hyper-targeted, super specific, completely nothing like this has ever existed for small service companies. Direct mail. You can even target a single home. Maybe you're a pool company and you want to target this single home. It's wicked fast, it's very simple, and it's an outstanding spigot, right? So we want to plug the holes in the bucket, but this is a cool spigot, and this is what our software does. The other thing it does what's called a neighbor mailing. So if you're in the maid service and in lawn care, it's super important to have route density. I think Tom was talking about that. You want to have little clusters of customers, right? So your cleaners go and they're just kind of there all day and then they come back. There's no waste. That's what this helps you do. So if you have one of your customers' addresses in here, you can click a button called Neighbor Mailing, choose how many of the neighbors you want to target, and click another button, and it will mail something to them, but not just one thing, a whole series of things. It's called a sequence, right? It touches them, boom, 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 uses social proof. Hey, we're doing your neighbor Teresa's house. She loves us. Here's a testimonial for her. Let us stop by and give you a price or whatever. And you're hitting them once a week for 4 weeks. You get the biggest response in your third or fourth card that drops. It's wicked, wicked, wicked effective. It's ridiculous. And it's completely automated too, because we are tying into CRMs and things. So you get them with Radius Bomb and you keep them with the relationship marketing stuff that we were talking about. And Send Jim, the other side of what our software does, is the keep them part. We send letters, brownies, gifts, greeting cards, cookies, gift certificates, all kinds of things to people. You can use your cell phone, or you can schedule one of those calendars for your employees, maybe with a $25 Amazon card with a special note from you. You can set all that up in 16 minutes for your whole company, turn it on, and then run your business, and it's going to be touching and investing in those relationships for you. That's what it does. I built it for myself. That's why we made this. And so when we sold our service company, it allowed me to go much deeper into it and make it even more robust and spend gajillions of dollars on it. And that's what it does. So it's not a huge sales pitch, but if you want info, there's a whole webinar thing. You're going to be exhausted. You need to go to the casino and like party hardy and like eat bad food. But if you just text Radius Bomb to that number, it'll send you like a link and you can watch and learn about it, and then you could like learn how to connect with us on it. And it only takes a second. So what'll happen is, don't put a space with Radius Bomb. Just put 44222 is who you're sending it to, and then in the body of the message, just type Radius Bomb, all one word, no space. And then it's gonna ask you for your email address, like it'll text you back and say, what's your email? And you just put it in whatever one you want, do it. And we'll send you all the information, a whole explanation of all the stuff it does. But you know, hopefully it provided value to you. My name's Josh, my business partner Chris. If you want to wave over there, Chris. He's the big corporate whale fishing, corporate account landing guy. But we're partners on the software too. And if you have questions, you can talk to either of us. Do you guys have any questions about anything I've talked about or my business?
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.